So let's look tonight in Exodus chapter number 20, and let's go to verse number 12. And there's a few things I wanted to say this morning, just didn't get to them, so we'll pick back up there and then we'll move on. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, you there say amen.
Amen.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And of course we understand Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. And so the thought that we have been preaching on, and I probably won't preach very long tonight, just give you a few little things on my heart. But we've been preaching on simple solutions for personal pollutions. In other words, personal issues that are self-inflicted. Again, we're not under that law by any means. Are we in bondage to the law? The Lord fulfilled the law. Thank the Lord that He done that. But that law will keep you from allowing you to destroy you. Let's go through them. Thou shalt know the gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And so these are some simple solutions for personal pollutions. Now let's look in verse 12. How many kids we got here tonight? Let me see your eyes. Anybody a kid in here, an adult? Some of y'all is looking at me. I ain't talking about you tonight. All right, that was last Sunday. Not tonight. I'm not calling you a kid. Colson, how about you come up here for a little bit tonight, buddy? I need a helper. Can you help me tonight? Can Colson help me tonight? I won't eat you. I'll just nibble on your fingers a little bit. How about if Elijah comes with you? Come on, Elijah. Colson, if you decide you want to come, buddy, you can join us, all right? Come on, Elijah. Honor thy father and thy mother. Boy, you're getting preached to tonight, son. I'm unloosening the tie for this one. Kid ain't got shoes on. Let's look in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I want to give you a few things quickly, all right? We talked about the law, all that goes on. But here's what I want you to see tonight. I want to say, number one, oftentimes disobedient, dishonoring children turn into damned children. What do you mean? Proverbs 23:14 says this, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I think I need to demonstrate what that means right there. Disobedient, dishonoring children will turn into damned children. But notice this, disobedient and dishonoring children will turn into darkened children. What do you mean? Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. In other words, they are darkened. There is no sight. There is no spiritual sight. And there is no vision concerning their future and their authority. Are you listening tonight? And then we find that oftentimes disobedient and dishonoring children will turn into deceived children. So they'll turn into darkened children, damned children, and deceived children. What do you mean? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. They are deceived children, disobedient to parents. Paul's making mention to Timothy in those last days that there is a possibility in these disobedient children, these children who are, my friend, unruly and rebellious, that they can, they'll be part of the crowd. Notice who they're lumped with. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. I mean, false accusers. The list goes on. And God throws in disobedient to parents into that crowd that has a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. Come here. This is my boy. And y'all got yours, I know that. But there's a few things that he needs to know why it is important for him to honor his father and his mother and to obey his father and his mother. He does a pretty good job when dad's around, but when I leave, he's a different little fella. He pushes mama's buttons. And so, if I want what's best for him, you want me to have your best interest in hand, do good what's good for you, right? All right. And you're going to do good what's good for me, right? All right. So what's good for me is to make sure you obey me and your mother and you honor us. And when you don't, what happens? If you don't obey me. Bust my butt? Yes, I bust your butt. But I don't do it because I mean to. You do it. Huh? Why do I whip you for it? That's right. And God's told me that this is my responsibility.
Right. Right.
It is not responsibility to grab him up and holler at him. Right. It's not my responsibility to smack him across the face. Unless we're wrestling, then it is not my responsibility to jerk him by the hair of the head or pull his arm or break his leg. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the fear, raising him in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now let me tell y'all something. The best way to do it is not with your words.
Right. That's right.
It's with your lives. Elijah was going to have coastal help. He bailed out tonight. Elijah, if you were to ask him who he's like, what would you tell him? Who are you like the most? Me? What do you tell people all the time? You're little. Now, I didn't tell him that. He wants to be like me. I'm out of bounds. He wants to be like his dad. When daddy, he's seen this year, he turned 5, he took a special interest in hunting. I didn't cram it down his throat.
Oh, God.
Are you serious? Are you serious? What was that? Why'd you do that? Are you nervous? Well, he's done now. It's all over my shoes. In fact, somebody should have that on video. Just fence her out right in front of God and everybody. Get behind the pulpit, please. Well, back to what I say. Before I got barked on. Somebody write that down. That needs to be written down.
Oh.
What in the world, boy?
Too much cotton candy.
Cotton candy. Yeah, that's a mess. Back to what I say.
It's okay. We're getting it.
I think you just need to pray along now. That's what I was trying to tell you. You see, Colson, you
just saved your life.
This is Colson's
fault. Yeah, you kept saying that.
Somebody look at you.
It's okay.
I just started talking until I felt the swag. You all right, man?
Yeah, he's still... No. He said, I don't know about that.
So what I was trying, was going to do is show you an example how this thing's supposed to work. So we're to lead our children. Now, here's what a lot of parents do that they should not do. They say, now listen right here, they say one thing, but they do another. The quickest way to make your child turn out to be disobedient to you and disobedient to God. Dishonoring to you, dishonoring to God. Damned inside of you. You and listen, your children get to a place where they are even in your sight. Damnable.
to you and to God. The quickest way to make them see concerning you and the Lord is for you to say you're something and they see someone else.
That's right.
Now, the example, before we started, this or him, was every time I take a step and he's following me, not only is his footsteps in my footsteps, but the path that I'm walking, he is in. He'll only think about it, but he'll end up where I'm at if he follows my footsteps. Now, in his mind, he don't see it that way. But how many people do you know they turned out just like their sorry, rotten daddy? How many people do you know they turned out just like their sorry, rotten mama? How many people know where my Uncle Ben? And Uncle Ben was a drunk, and then nephew became a drunk. Now, it's not always that way. My mom, thank the Lord, took a different course. And I know some of y'all have. But 9 out of 10 times, what you are, your children will be in excess. I never personally threw up in church. So, but y'all see the pattern. He destroyed my illustration. There's going to be a lot better. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. Let's look down in verse number 13. I want to focus in right here for a little bit tonight. Verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. This is what I see is this. Make God your fixed perception. Make God your fixed perception. What do you mean by that? Thou shalt not kill. Well, if every murderer would have considered their own life and the value of life itself, by the way, life, all life, and I need an amen right here, all life is a gift from God. And so if they were considerate, if they had the viewpoint that God is the giver of life, before they ever committed murder, they would have realized, if they would have perceived that God is the one who gave life and we do not have the authority to remove it, they would not be murderers. Now, I'm going to show you some things tonight. This will be a little bit of kind of a Sunday school thing. Concerning life. I want to read you a few verses, then we're going to look a few places. Psalm 127:3 says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. That's me, in case you're wondering. I got a full quiver. You know how many of y'all's ever bow hunting before? 9 out of 10 quivers hold 4 arrows. Am I telling it right, Rosie? 9 out of 10 quivers on a bow hold 4 arrows. So my quiver's full, all right? Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So children are heritage of the Lord. I want to give you a few biblical truths so we understand what that verse means. Thou shalt not kill. Can it just be lumped into all forms of death? No, there are justifiable causes for a man to take another man's life. Okay, we're going to look at those. Let's look in Genesis, first of all, in Genesis chapter 9 tonight. The first one I want to deal with tonight is capital punishment. Capital punishment is not murder. You've got one crowd that says thou shalt not kill, and that means everything. And any, if they put a pervert that molested a lady and killed her and threw her out in a ditch on death row, they want to be so super spiritual, thou shalt not kill. Well, God has something different to say about that. Capital punishment is not murder. Look in Genesis 9. Look in verse number 6. Genesis 9, 6. Let's read it. The Bible said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So if a man takes another man's life, it says right there that man's life is required. His life should be taken because he had taken someone else's life. Look in Exodus. And there's more. I'm just going to give you a few high points. Exodus 21:12 tonight. Exodus 21:12. We're just going to wade through some of these little points and we'll be done tonight. Exodus 21:12. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. If you hit the Bible, according to the Bible, a man that hit another man, beat him to death, should and shall die. Look in Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24. Look at verse 17. Leviticus 24, 17. He that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. Everybody see these? So is capital punishment murder. The death is the death chair, electric chair, however you want to call it. Hanging. Well, they used to hang them. Is that murder? That's murder. Oh, not according to the Bible, it's not. They've taken another man's life. They're murderers. Okay? If there's crimes that are guilty, you say, oh, just murder? No, not just murder. There's other crimes in that Bible that is required, the punishment required is death. Yeah. All right? Look in Numbers 35. Just going to walk through these tonight. I ain't going to really rear back. I can't. Anyhow. Numbers 35. Look in verse 16. You there, say amen. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. Everybody see that? The murderer shall surely be put to death. That is not murder. And if he smite him with the throwing of a stone, with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherein he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Look down in verse number 30. Numbers 35, 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. Capital punishment. Men who sin and commit crimes worthy of death and they die because of their crime, that is not murder. Thou shalt not kill does not apply to that. Number two, this is a big one. War is not murder. I'm going to show you this in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. We're going to establish what it ain't and then we're going to establish what it is. War is not murder. I watched the old man reject the Lord under conviction because he killed people in Vietnam or one of them wars. God couldn't save me. God don't want to save me. I've took another man's life, several of them. I said, sir, God will save you, and he does want to save you. And I told him, how about Paul, how Paul killed Christians and the Lord saved him. But he was convinced that he was a murderer. War is not murder. War is not murder. Let's look in Numbers 31. We find which verses I want to read. We ain't going to read the whole thing. Numbers 31. Let's look at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war. Let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000, though throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Moses sent them to the war. 1,000 of every tribe, and them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the holy instruments, the trumpets to blow in his hand, and they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses. And they slew all the males, and they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain. Now, excuse me, if war is a crime, and I'm just going to read that and stop, and there's 1,000 other places. If war is murder, then God's a murderer. Do you know how many people God slew in war? Thousands of men have died by the hand of God. But God's not a murderer. War is not, listen to me, war is not murder. All throughout this Bible, David slew thousands of men in war under the leadership and the command of who? Of the Lord. That's exactly right. War is not murder. Look in Exodus 22. We'll just slow down a little tonight. Hope you're all right with that. Exodus 22, look in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Bible said, if a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five ox for oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Verse 2, if the thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood be shed for him. If the sun be rising upon him, there shall be bloodshed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Self-defense is not murder. I know we're slowed down, but y'all can say amen if it's the truth. Self-defense is not murder. If a man breaks in, according to this Bible, if he be found breaking in and he be smitten that he die, there is no blood required of whoever killed that man. Listen to me. If you're too spiritual to defend your family, you're too spiritual. Matter of fact, you're not spiritual. That's the number one job of a man outside of providing is to protect his family. You break in my house, I'm not trying to figure out your name and how you got there. I'm just telling you. So don't bust in the door unless you have an invitation or I know you're going to be there because you're liable to get shot. Well, okay, am I in a liberal church tonight or are y'all going to amen me or what? Because I'm not letting you harm my children or me or my wife or nothing. It's me or you at the end of the day. It's self-defense. It is not murder. Self-defense is not murder. However, I'm going to give you some things that are murder, contrary to popular belief. Abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Psalm 106, 38 and 39, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters whom they sacrificed on the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went whoring with all with their own inventions. Listen to me. God has much to say about children. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he said to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Hello? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Well, they're not actual living creatures. Yes, they are. And for you to think that it's okay for a doctor to suck a baby out of the womb through a vacuum cleaner and dispose of it in some kind of jar. And my friend, and you don't think there's nothing wrong with that? You've lost your mind. It's murder, according to the Word of God. I don't care how many places have legalized it. It's murder. They've also legalized same-sex marriage, and it's an abomination. It's wicked. Talk about simple solutions for personal pollutions. You know why our country's in the shape she's in tonight? Personal pollution. God has laid out a simple solution up for murder, and God's laid out the rights, the do's and the do nots when it comes to killing. God has laid it all out. Is he your first priority? Is he your focus of praise? Is he your faithful purpose? Is that what you do? Why you do what you do? Is he your final authority concerning your parents, my friend? Is he who you say he is in your life? Simple solution. I don't know how I got here, preacher. Well, you probably did things your own way. You know why America is experiencing what she's experiencing? She's done what she's wanted. They say America's a Christian nation. We were. I'm not so sure now. Our government is as corrupt and wicked and abominable as Sodom and Gomorrah ever thought about being. I want you to know that tonight. When our president supports transgenderism and homosexuality and same-sex marriage and abortion and all these things. We are in trouble. We're in trouble. And I'm not going, listen, well, you shouldn't bring politics. Every preacher in that Bible preached against bad policy. By the way, that is the root word of politician. Politics, it's policy. That's what they do. They incorporate policy. They push policy, and it's not all right. Well, we're supposed to obey those who have authority over us. God has supreme authority over everybody. And if it's wrong in his word, I care less what Supreme Court justice says. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. Killing without a cause is murder. Killing without a cause is murder. Cain and Abel, that's murder. That's murder. He murdered his brother. My friend, murder is a real thing, but we classify all forms of killing as murder. Well, let me say this. We classify those who really ain't murder as murderers, and those who really are innocent in today's world. Yeah. The abortion clinics is the absolute, it's the genocide, my friend, of our generation. They take more lives through abortion than any other thing, any other leading thing for a death of a baby in America. Right. Abortion's number one. Leading cause of death. That's the number one instrument of death in mother, you know, in the womb. I forget all the terminology. And they don't classify it as death, but if you look up the statistics, there are a lot more than what probable cause for death is. Abortion. It's murder. It's murder. Thou shalt not kill. So I ask you tonight, are we going to take what God's word says over what men say? I just don't know how I feel about that. Well, do you read your Bible? Is anybody in the building tonight? I just don't know about that. Do you care what God has to say? I just don't know about that. Well, are you, listen, God's way, it's simple. Simple solutions. Thou shalt not kill. Taking the life of an innocent baby in the womb is not a reason to kill. It's not a reason to kill. We're living in a day that now they'll have them and take them to a dumpster and throw them in it and drive off. They're murderers. They're murderers. Thou shalt not kill. All right? So, we gotta fixate and focus on the perception of God. God gives life. God gives life. Let's look at verse 14 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Make God your foundation for both purity and promise. Make God your foundation. Listen, I need some amens. Make God your foundation for both purity and promise. Adultery. You know the first thing God instituted on planet Earth was marriage? It's the first thing He done. When you make a vow, you make a vow to God before you make a vow to one another when you become married. And by the way, if God is not at the center of your marriage, which is the simple solution, you've opened the door for corruption in your marriage. My marriage is falling apart. Well, how much is your marriage centered and focused around the Lord? Do you serve the Lord together? Do you go to church together? Do you talk about things concerning the Lord together? Do you teach your children about the Lord? Do you think about the Lord? Do y'all pray? Do you do anything that would halfway allow God's blessing and favor on your marriage? Do you pray for your husband or do you pray for your wife? I hope. I mean, that's... Do you? Do you take time? Who are you banking on to pray for her or for him? Do you pray for them? Do you really ask God for His help and His blessing in your marriage? If God is not the center of your marriage, it's a simple solution. You'll find a whole lot of personal pollution. The reason people commit adultery and go out on their spouse is because they give in to the sinful, selfish desires of the flesh. It's a personal problem. Now listen to me. God's the founder and the foundation of marriage. You cannot just bail out and bounce around and get by with it from God. I'm going to say a few things here and we'll be done. Proverbs 6:32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Can I get a little help right there? If you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. So I wonder how many adulterers are here. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Are you listening tonight? I wish I could rear back. I just can't. Lord ain't letting me. Is God your foundation of both purity and promise? He's the foundation of marriage. He's the institutor of marriage. And your foundation of marriage ought to be purity and promise. You know what you done when you said I do? You made a promise. How many of y'all wanted to break that promise? Everybody here. You say you ain't, you're a liar. There have been days that every one of us thought, boy, I really messed up. Man, what was I thinking? We've all been there. Bless God, he ain't who he was. Nope. That's why you better take a good long time to get married. We all change over time. Amen back there, son. He knows everything. Mom's way different, ain't she, buddy? Amen, he said. Amen. I like it. You going to throw up now? So we're looking at you. It seemed to be the thing to do tonight. Do you know in Deuteronomy what the punishment was? I bet you can guess it by now. Under the law for an adulterer. Death. Death. Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man be found lying with a woman, married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Now listen. I'm going to read you some verses. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 5. This is pastoring. And I know, you know, it ain't always low key, but sometimes it is. And so we're just going to walk through some scriptures. I'm going to give you some truths, and we're going to go to the house. Well, I'm going down the road, but anyways. I'm going to say a few stout things right here. I need all husbands and wives to listen. 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife, listen, hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. When you get married, it's not all about you no more. Hello? Verse number 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. Now let's say a few stout things right here. If God's your foundation, making your marriage founded upon both purity and promise, here's a simple solution for personal pollution. I'm going to try to just stay as plain, cut and dry as I can. Take care of each other. Does everybody follow me? Do I have to say anything else? Defraud ye not one another except for prayer and fasting. Ladies, I've said it before. It's not a weapon. I need a little help, y'all. It's not something you can hold over his head or get him to do the chores at the house.
Right.
I'm going to say, I told you, I'm going to say, if you won't give it to him, somebody else will.
That's right.
I need a little help. Amen. Some of you men, henpecked, won't even say amen. Somebody will. I'm not saying it's right, but you'll know the reason most of the time that men end up in adultery, because their wives don't take care of them. It's your job to take care of him. And sir, it's your job to take care of her. That's not perverted. It's biblical. Marriage and a man and a woman come together, it's been perverted, but it's not perverted. God created it. And if he's got anything better, he kept it a secret. Somebody say amen. Amen. I heard somebody say one time, said, if God got anything better than marriage, he's kept it for himself. I believe that. Amen. It's a blessing. I need a little help. What's wrong with you people? I said it's a blessing. And it's your job as husband and wife. That's what brings one of the threefold, of the threefold cords. That's one of them. Marriage is threefold cords, not quickly broken. It's a legal thing. It's a spiritual thing and a physical thing. Amen. Two twain becoming one flesh. By the way, God made our bodies to fit together like a puzzle. Hello? That's why same sex don't work. Amen. It don't work. I know it's not popular in these days, but this don't work. That don't work. Amen. God created male and female to come together in holy marriage and enjoy one another. And listen, the reason most people end up in adultery is because their marriage has been neglected. That's the truth. Don't neglect your marriage. Are you listening? Don't neglect your marriage. You're being bad. Somebody's going to end up in a bad situation if you don't take care of one another. You know what the Bible said? Notice that verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent. That means agreement. That means he's all right and you are too. Except it be consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Why? That Satan not tempt you. Or that Satan tempts you not. That's the first thing that will go wrong when it comes to a marriage, is when that physical relationship is broken. It's all downhill from there. It's all downhill from there. Can y'all even hear me? All right. So, that's all we're going to do tonight. 38 minutes. Throw up on the floor. I mean, it's all took place tonight. But I thank you for being here. Let's all stand.